Thanks, Joan. Thanks to me. I thought I brought some books to sell, and this was my second book, and it's called Natural Birth, and it's about the birth process. I thought I'd read a section of that. Transition. Do you know what transition is when you're in labor? It's that period when you're not supposed to push and you feel like pushing, and it's between, I think, 6 and 9 centimeters or something like that. I've forgotten. I remembered so much, but it's been a long time. But anyway, it's right before birth. Transition. The meat rolls up and moans on the damp table. My body is a piece of cotton over another woman's body. Some other woman, all muscle and nerve, is tearing apart and opening under me. I move with her like skin, not able to do anything else. I am just watching her, not able to believe what her body can do, what it will do to get this thing accomplished. This muscle of a lady, this crazy ocean in my teacup. She moves the pillars of the sky. I am stretched into fragments, tissue paper thin. The light shines through to her goatness, her blood-thick heart that thuds like one drum in a universe emptying its stars. She is that heart larger than my life, stuffed in me like sausage, black sky, bird pecking at the bloody ligament, trying to get in, get out. I am holding out with everything I have, holding out the evil thing. When I see there is no answer to the screamed word, God, nothing I can do, no use, I have to let her in, open the door, put down the mat, welcome her as if she might be the called for death, the final abstraction. She comes like a tunnel fast, coming into blackness with my headlights off. You can push. Why wasn't the room bursting with lilies? Why was everything the same with them moving so slowly as if they were drugged? Why were they acting the same when suddenly everything had changed? We were through with pain, would never suffer in our lives again. Put pain down like a rag, unzip her skin, step out of our dead bodies and leave them on the floor. Glorious spirits were rising, blanched with light like thirsty women shining with their thirst. One can only imagine the shifting of the universe, the layers of shale and rock and sky torturing against each other, the tension, the sudden letting go, the pivot of one woman stuck in the socket, flesh and bones giving way, the V groin locked, vice thigh, and the sudden release when everything comes to rest on new pillars. Villanelle for a fat chair. Good morning, fat chair. Your frame is slightly askew. Your wooden bones tilt, but padded with foam and polka dotted, you seem sprightly, good-natured. I've known a chair to rise out of night's darkness and provide a ride for me above the furry carpeting defying gravity. Even one cockeyed, slightly built, can be a tilted ship climbing waves of morning. Whatever light shines through this morning's slatted blinds, smoky with undelivered rain, I've turned aside to panegyrize my cheap-legged you. For, like Mariah Carey's lungs, your soul seems to bellow, breathing blithe operatic air, and your polka dots climb atmospheric strophes like poems I memorized in school. Do not go gently, fat chair, while I return to cautious lumbering. You must override a dip. You must momentarily enshrine a flawed relic of imagination, and by dancing, live. I was thinking about Ricky when I thought about reading some poems I wrote in New Orleans. New Orleans dollar store. I like the way she calls out for help. Baby, she sings to anyone in range. I need help to find that quilt. Those native New Orleanians, the way they stretch the vowels and curl them deep under the tongue. Vowels thickened with a rue that some mulatto dropped off from Haiti or Brazil. A blend conjured in the slave castles. Oh, I hurt so bad, and these people in this store too busy to help me. She pushes, really aims her cart full speed down the aisle ahead of me, knees bent in so much they almost touch. And when it slows, falls forward on it, shoving with everything she's got to sail it forth again. That you, baby? As if she's been expecting me. She wants red in it, for her bedroom curtains are red, and she wants me to pull down the plastic-wrapped bales from the top, read the prices, $35, describe them, and I think to make agreeable or disagreeable sounds. You think this color goes with red? God knows the old have to settle and be quick. I saw some others down that aisle. So up and down we go again, though I doubt that she remembers, and I'm growing tired of my kindness. But there they are, and $5 cheaper. That navy and white one doesn't have any red in it, I remind her. That's all right, girl. I got some blue in that room, too. Leaving the cashier, I see her sit down heavy on some stacked boxes of paper towel and start shoveling her purse. I can't find my phone. Can someone help me? I could sneak out with my paid sack. Give me your number and I'll call it and walk around until I hear a ring. I walk front to back, side to side, thinking it's at home or on silence in a pocket of her purse. Or maybe somebody has already swiped it. But I keep calling, even when the buzz goes to voicemail. Again, again, again. I keep heading toward a faint, remote, imagined ring. New Orleans palmetto bug. You know about those guys. We feel a kiss on our lips trembling there like a small insect. Rambo. One. False gods. I'm terrified of the palmetto bug in my kitchen. It's as long as my index finger and two thumbs wide. So big, so alive with its bigness, that I can't imagine putting my foot on it and pressing it any more than I could imagine pressing my foot down on a newborn kitten. I'm screaming and waving my hands, but it doesn't move, as if it is calmly assessing. Then it starts walking toward me, slow and steady. Though I'm yelling, you dumbass, you stupid motherfucker, I can't believe it won't obey me. I'm so big, so loud, I should be its god. Okay, I say this calmly in control, you better not go in my bedroom. And that's exactly what it does. Heads straight down the hall, through the door. Imagine me trying to fall asleep, waiting for the weight of that slight runner on my cheek, and climbs up on the heater beside my bed. I grab the heater and carry it carefully out the front door, shaking it firmly, not madly, demanding my visitor get down. Please, I beg, I don't want you. Go back to your own people. But it hangs on as if it doesn't want to leave me. As I'm drifting off, I hear the long, soft clickings of a chorus outside my window, and I wonder if it brought back a bunch of its friends to serenade me to sleep. Two, why the giant palmetto bugs in New Orleans run toward you when you are screaming at them to go away. They have a hard thing on the top of their head, and it sticks out like the bill of a baseball cap, but pointy, so that they can't look up. They only see the ground and don't know you're screaming and waving your hands. They only see your foot, and they imagine its cool shadow. What a good place to hide, they say. We've been talking about vulnerability and things that are hard to write about and hard to hear. Juno Diaz wrote about being raped as a child in The New Yorker a few weeks ago, and a lot of people had a lot to say about it. I wrote a poem, Pantoum for the Broken. How many of us were fingered, a soft thing with a hole in it, a thing that won't tell, that can't. I forget how many times I was broken, a soft thing with a hole in it. Some remember, grateful it wasn't worse. I forget how many times I was broken. Someone faceless rolled on me like a horse. Some remember, grateful it wasn't worse. Some forget, but their bodies do inexplicable things. Someone faceless rolled on me like a horse. Sleepwalking, I go back to where it happens. Some forget, but their bodies do inexplicable things. We don't know when or why or who broke in. Sleepwalking, we go back to where it happens. Not wanting to go back, we make it happen. If we escaped, will we escape again? I leapt from my body like a burning thing. Not wanting to go back, I make it happen until I hold the broken one, hold her, and sing. And I have a new food pyramid that I'd like to tell you about. I don't know if it's exactly a poem, but the food pyramid is bread, butter, cheese, sugar, and chocolate. You should try it. And two poems. Midnight, long train passing. This was in New Orleans, too. The steady growl of it, not rattling the windows, but continuous, like white noise. I sit in a huge armchair, hoping it will go on forever. For when I was a child, awake and fearful, I'd hear the whistle and rumble of a far-off train and be comforted, as if it were another person, another body, and I was suddenly inside it, its heartbeat trembling through the mattress and wooden frame of the bed. It seemed to cover me like the sheet I'd pull over my head so that nothing could crawl in my ear while I was sleeping. It was a language that carried me so that all the hours, days, and years I thought I was unworthy, I was not. Instead, there was another self I lived in, like a god I prayed to by staying alive. What are you? I wrote a book called The Black Notebooks, which was really about that question, what are you? I was at my doctor's office just last week, and the doctor looked at my medical record and she said, why aren't you white? I know you're looking at me like it's crazy, but she must have seen on my medical record it said black. And then so she said, why aren't you white? And you know, this happens to me a lot. So I thought, shrug. But I had a white friend with me. Ellen was with me. And I knew she was going to be really upset. And I felt bad for her. I know this is really weird. So I said, I don't want to be white. I said, black people are the ones who did all the music and all the art. Why would I want to be white? So she said, well, are your parents light? And I said, she said, why didn't they want to be white? I know, you said, but this just happened to me last week. And so Ellen just felt so bad. She said, how could she say that to you? You know, if only people knew what's going on in other people's minds. What are you? My DNA tells the same story as my face, the mix that makes me at home in Greek, Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese restaurants. My skin duskier to sensors trained, the sniffing nose, the prickly skin, ears alert for loud laughter, for the colored speech that now, almost 70 years after desegregation, so often tricks, so that when the actual person arrives who called about that house for sale, the agent stutters, that house has just been sold. My answer changes for years to avoid conversations that would take a lifetime, minds purposely dulled for generations, single consciousness, Du Bois might have called it, I would say when introduced to avoid later embarrassment for us both, I'm Toy Derricotte, I'm black, and stick my hand out. Now, is it pride in our complexity and having written proof from Ancestry.com that makes me sputter on about how my ancestors, perhaps theirs too, freighted cargo around the Mediterranean to places not yet named and bordered, genetic free-for-alls? Humans and Neanderthals had sex and produced viable offspring, but most evidence places these encounters in the Middle Ages, just after early humans exited Africa some 50 to 60,000 years ago. Recently, caught in conversation at a cocktail party, I quoted percentages to curious whites, 72% European, 28% African, a blend which in New Orleans in the 17th and 18th centuries wouldn't have bought a ticket to the Quatroon Ball. Their faces waited for the punchline until the black woman I was with cracked the silence. "You've been black all your life," she answered everyone. To our various shades, Hazel Shorter made it perfectly clear 50 years ago, if you black, you black. What changed when white people first saw, were amazed as they are now for the first time, a black person? In European towns in World War II, they wanted to touch the skin, the hair. Black soldiers became accustomed to it on the streets where children wanted to put their hand in it, press it, smiling in disbelief, gawking at features, putting their arms and hands against the color to check, entranced, as if they discovered another planet. Think of Keats and Chapman's Homer. Then felt I, like some watcher of the skies, when a new planet swims into his kin, or like stout Cortez, when with eagle eyes he stared at the Pacific, and all his men looked at each other with a wild surmise, silent upon a peak in Darien. I wonder if Richard Wilbur was awakened by the browns and blacks of our skin before he could awaken to the beautiful in his famous poem. The beautiful changes as a forest is changed by a chameleon's tuning his skin to it. As a mantis arranged on a green leaf grows into it, makes the leaf leafier and proves any greenness is deeper than anyone knows. For surely any blackness is deeper than anyone knows. Or comfort Tiffany's idea in 1855 to make glasses colors richer, more vibrant, tones due in part to the use of pot metal full of impurities. Slavery, a generation gone, and my great-grandmother, Philomene, still a Louisiana washwoman with her 50 daily pounds of white women's dirty laundry on her head. I've seen a toddler flinch on the elevator at an entering face. Don't touch. We are all trained in what not to see. Everywhere in the world, I know an unnamed, forgotten, unspeakable cemetery where the unwanted half-breed babies were swaddled tight and abandoned without funeral marker or blessing. What are you? A question that black people never ask. Perhaps catching the drift of a slave ship in my speech, most likely what I laugh at or how I laugh, for the first laughter surely erupted from the deepest cavern, from Old Vi Gorge. Praise Lucy, who in Ethiopia is also known as Dinkanesh. You are marvelous in the Amharic language. Each wavelength is a chuckle, a measurable rift between the consciousness of those without and those with ownership of their bodies. My ancestors, before there were lines of hatred and difference drawn around parcels of ground, landed on the circle of the beaches of the Mediterranean in Europe or Africa, so that my mother's nose was aquiline, my skin color would find family in any city. What makes me black? That thin strip of DNA across the middle of the continent that shuttled us to the Ivory Coast, all our DNA is marked by it, the same red flag, the magic carpet ride through Ghana to the sea. No matter where the other dots on the map reside, Ireland, England, Finland, no matter how far-fetched, What makes me black is a splash of color through the map, a swath, a gash, an epoch of 400 years of blood, semen, and vomit that poured out through Cape Coast. And from that wound, the bloody tears dispersed. Buy my books. I got some books.